Welcome to a special food technology focused edition of Investec Focus Radio. Meat production puts immense pressure on the Earth's ecosystem, and meat alternatives have been on the rise. But is food made in a lab the future? In this Investec Focus Radio podcast, we'll explore the dynamic intersection of food technology and sustainability with someone who's at the global forefront of engineering animal-free proteins. I am Melanie Janssen van Vuren, the Global Sustainability Lead at Investec. And today I have the pleasure of chatting with Arturo Elizondo. Arturo is founder and CEO of food technology company, The Every Company, based in Silicon Valley. The Every Company leverages precision fermentation to brew real animal proteins without the use of a single animal, starting with the world's first egg made without a chicken. So Arturo, what sparked your interest in the food technology space, especially because you are a Mexican Texan and I know how much you all love meat? I'm very interested to hear this story.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I think like most people, I grew up not knowing where my food came from. And so like any good Texan, I had my barbecues every Sunday. And like any good Mexican, I had my two extra breakfasts every morning. And I never thought about where my food came from. It wasn't until I was 16 and I saw this video online that someone had posted. And it was a video of inside footage of a factory farm. And there was this man who was in this factory farm who grabbed two chickens by the head and smashed them against the wall. And my stomach hurt because for the first time I thought, oh, is this what I'm eating? And is this what it takes to get this food to my table? And I thought this must be the exception. This is against the law. Like there should be, there should be some protection here and we should report this person, et cetera. And then I went to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in D.C., where at the USDA, we were slaughtering over 1 million animals every single hour. And it blew my mind, the scale at which we were growing animals. And that's what really sparked my interest.
You are so right. We never really consider where our food comes from and the process of it landing on our plates. So I've been doing some research about alternative proteins, and there is so much out there. Could you please summarize the alternative protein landscape and what is available to consumers?
There's three basic kind of pillars: using plant-based, using cell-based, using fermentation. So it's a bunch of technologies out there, and these technologies all work to do different things, right? So if you want your steak, right, if you want your tuna, there are companies that are actually creating the whole like salmon fillets without mercury, without microplastics. There are companies making whole steaks that they're 3D printing them. And then there's companies that are actually blending the technologies together so that people who want their steak but don't want, the cancer, right? Don't want the saturated fat, don't want the cholesterol, that they can have it. And so when I started the company, there were five other companies out there 10 years ago. Now there's over 400. And so the technology has really proliferated. Some of these technologies are still in their very early stages, so they will take, they will take time to scale, but the technology is incredibly powerful. And I've just been very, very impressed with how much progress has been made to prove that at the most base, at least at the most fundamental level, will the taste be there, right? It'll take a while for them to be affordable enough for everyone to have access to them, but can you get the consumer experience? That question has been answered, I think, pretty, pretty directly. And then, most people probably know like the veggie burgers out there, right? The plant-based burgers. Companies are getting much, much better. The beauty of those technologies is that they're more affordable and you're using off-the-shelf ingredients, so you can get them into market much faster. One of the challenges is that the fungibility isn't quite there because you know, plant proteins are sometimes different than animal proteins. And so you need sometimes the animal protein for a specific, you know, nutritional profile or like taste and experience. And so those technologies, I think for quite a few people, they meet the need. And they are objectively healthier than the animal-based options. They have no hormones. They have no antibiotics. Most of them have zero cholesterol and have less fat, which we know ultimately are the things that are also contributing to a lot of the diseases that we have in the modern world today. And then the fermentation, that's what we do. And so we see ourselves more as like the backbone and infrastructure of the food industry. So we work with a lot of these plant-based and cell-based companies because we provide essentially the key ingredients to making a lot of those products. And then also for the broader food industry. Most people don't realize, but so many animal proteins are used in ways that people cannot imagine. So as of like 4 or 5 years ago, Guinness, for their beers, were using fish bladders to filter their beers. Those beers were not vegetarian or vegan because you had to use fish bladders to make the beer. A lot of white wines use egg whites to clarify them. And so what I realized is that there's all of these uses where we're using animal protein. And companies have to use it because it's a really functional ingredient and very nutritious, depending on the use case. And that's why we also are named Every, because we want to support every company. We're not here to compete with anyone. We're talking with a lot of egg companies, and some of our largest investors are the biggest meat companies in the world. And so for us, the way that we see it is, how do we help everyone? Because we all want to live in a world that we can feel proud of for the next 5, 10, 20 years.
As a big meat eater, my biggest worry has always been the taste test. So I will take your word for it that the technologies have started to get it right.
Are you looking for an investment that will contribute to a sustainable future for people and planet? A place to put your money to do good and simultaneously do well. Investec Wealth and Investment has the solution for you. The Global Sustainable Equity Fund invests in companies that align with the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Find out more by clicking on the link in the podcast notes or search for Investec Sustainable Equity Fund.
I know the way we currently produce and consume food is not sustainable. There are 8 billion people on the planet demanding more and more. How do we ensure that our food is sustainable?
The way that we are making protein today is so fundamentally problematic. And a huge part of that is because demand has grown so much. The appetite for animal protein has grown exponentially. And so the only way to meet that demand is by stacking animals on top of each other in these massive factory farms to do that. So many of the diseases that we have are tied to our diet. All these cancers, like the World Health Organization declared processed meat a level 1 carcinogen, up there with asbestos and cigarettes, as there is unequivocal evidence that states that processed meat causes cancer. Red meat is a level 2 carcinogen. And so there is more and more science coming out around what we have been doing to our food system is now catching up to us. If we're doing this today and the demand for protein globally continues to grow every single year with no signs of slowing down, we have to find more ways of producing protein at scale. You know, in China, I was reading an article recently where they just built a 27-story factory farm for pigs to grow them in basically these massive buildings because the demand for protein is so high. And then realizing the impact that it has on the planet. When I was doing this research, I did not realize that animal agriculture, animal protein production, is the number one cause of deforestation in the world. It is the number one cause of extinction in the world. It is the number one cause of ocean dead zones in the world. It is the number one cause of water pollution in the world. Today, to think if we continue down this path for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, what would our world look like if we're already destroying it today? And so that's what really made me realize that there has to be a different way of feeding people that doesn't require having to destroy the planet in the process. And part of what I did after I learned all these things, I was like, you know what? There has to be a better way of making protein, or there have to be different ways of doing that. And I went on this rabbit hole trying to figure out all the different technologies out there. And with my co-founder, we came across a technology called fermentation. Well, fermentation has been around for millennia, but persistent fermentation to make proteins, protein fermentation is what we call it, has been around for 40 years. So the first ever protein made without using an animal was insulin. Insulin for diabetics used to come from pigs before the 1980s. And the only way to get insulin, if you were a diabetic, was to kill a pig, extract the insulin protein from their pancreas, purify it, and then inject it into people. That was the only way. It wasn't kosher, it wasn't halal, it wasn't vegan or vegetarian, but if you wanted to live, that was the only way to get it. And you needed over 40,000 pig pancreases to make 1 kilogram of insulin protein. And that was the reality. And it wasn't until Genentech found a way to make insulin using protein fermentation. And it ended up, because it was so pure, it was more effective. It was a lot more consistent because you weren't using an animal that sometimes, you know, different animals are have different grades of insulin, et cetera. And so it was a lot more consistent, a lot purer, and therefore a lot more effective. And so within 15 years, for protein fermentation took over the entire insulin market. And like people are injecting it into their blood every single day. That's how now most medicines are made. And so we're using this old technology, but applying it to food because our food system is so broken. And so how can we take this really expensive technology that have been used for pharmaceuticals and actually apply it to our food system where we can make incredibly pure proteins? So the proteins are processed in the exact same way as the body because they're made by the same DNA sequences. And so your body processes in the exact same way. And there are no antibiotics, there's no hormones, we don't have any other ingredients for the most part.
How accessible and affordable will this technology be for vulnerable communities?
Yeah, so that's our long-term ambition. Ultimately, it's hard to imagine meat or milk and eggs and the proteins that we're eating today get any cheaper than they are today. Like the fact that we've optimized our system so much, like we've engineered these animals to be so unnatural. You look at what a chicken used to look like, you know, 50 years ago and the ones that we have today, and they look completely different. Chickens in the wild before domestication laid around 1 to 2 dozen eggs a year. Now chickens lay over 300 eggs per year. They're the only other species besides humans that develop spontaneous tumors. And that's because their bodies we've engineered their bodies to a degree where we're eating like aliens. And so for us, we needed to find a technology that could scale and that could get more efficient and more efficient over time as you drive scale. And this technology has the potential to be able to be even more affordable than the cheapest animal proteins today.
And what about the nutritional value? Is it the same? Is it better?
So the beauty of it is that we can actually create different kinds of products depending on the end use. So when you're using an egg, for example, you can use an egg in hundreds of applications. When you're baking a cake with it, you want the egg to foam, right? And to have that foam capacity. So you're not really looking for the nutritional profile there as much as the functionality. When you're getting your scrambled eggs in the mornings, you want the nutrition, but maybe you don't want the cholesterol. And so what we can do is, through the fermentation technique, we actually can produce individual proteins at a time instead of producing all of them And so what that allows us to do is that we can create products that are more customized for the end user. And so what we like to think about is the era of like personalized nutrition. And so for us, we developed the world's first egg made without cholesterol that we launched 2 months ago at 11 Madison Park, which was voted the best restaurant in the world in New York City. 3 Michelin stars, and the chef made a bunch of dishes that featured our egg that had the same taste, but none of the cholesterol and saturated fat.
As a meat eater, it is hard to even consider going vegetarian or vegan. What do you tell people to change their minds about eating meat?
What I share with people is, look, we have a chance to vote for our food system at least 3 times a day. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so even if it's one meal, I know it's hard. Like I did it 10 years ago and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done because changing habits is so hard to do. You know, what some people do is like the weekday veg, where like Monday through Friday, where they have a schedule, they eat mainly plant-based, which we know is healthier, has less cholesterol. Like, there's a lot of benefits for it. And on the weekends, you can eat whatever you want. And so it's more about how can we have a more, temperate and moderate way of consuming, and that we are going to eat, animal protein, that, we look at where it comes from. And make that choice intentionally.
What other opportunities do you see in this industry?
AI is going to transform our food industry. I mean, we use it. Most of our animal proteins come from only a handful of species, right? Cows, pigs, fish, and chickens, for the most part. There are millions of species out there, some with proteins that have incredible benefits. And so this approach called bioprospecting, where we can look at all these different proteins, all the proteins known to man, analyze them via databases, and understand which proteins actually have the best nutritional profiles for humans. Because if you think about all these foods, like they weren't necessarily made for us. Like think of an egg, for example. What was an egg meant to do? The proteins in the egg were meant to support the life of a baby chick. They just so happen to be very nutritional for humans, but there's some proteins in the egg that are actually not that good for us. There's a protein called avidin in the egg white, that if you don't cook it and denature it, it can bind to biotin and create a biotin deficiency in the body. And so we think about how little we know about the foods today. Most people don't realize that the egg doesn't have just one protein. In one single egg, there are over 200 different proteins. They all have their own unique taste, amino acid profile, nutritional profile, digestibility, foaming capacity, binding, gelation properties. And so when you eat an egg, you eat the weighted average of all of those proteins. But if we could design food and understand the proteins really well, we can actually create food that is truly designed for the human body. And so when we think about these, 4 or 5 different species that we're eating most of our protein from, what if we looked at the millions of species out there and look at and try to find the best possible proteins? And so I think we're just at the beginning of what the future of food can look like.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It has been very insightful. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of Investec Focus Radio. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to Investec Focus Radio SA. And feel free to share this episode with your colleagues and friends.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendations. Investec Private Banking, a division of Investec Bank Limited, a registered credit provider committed to the Code of Banking Practice as regulated by the Ombudsman for Banking Services.